Now's the perfect time to get your Chevy ready for that next road trip with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. When it comes to service, no one knows your Chevy better. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We have a ton of things planned for tonight. And as Ron was saying, any minute we are going to go to a presidential press conference about the events tonight at the press dinner. But we have a ton of things planned for you tonight. Mm-hmm. A little later, we're going to get to say hi to two of our favorite people that we haven't seen in much too long time.
I know.
We are going to have two of the members of the River Road Trio, Janelle and Terry Carter, be joining us in studio.
Two-thirds of the trio.
Yeah. And also, a little later, we're going to check with our friend Chris Smith, who is the chief meteorologist with Panhandle Weather. One of the major headlines this weekend has been some of the wildfires and some of the crazy mm-hmm. weather in the South with Georgia, Alabama, and Florida. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, the hurricane predictions were just out. Yeah. And it looks like Florida is going to be right in the eye of a whole lot of mess.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah. And we may even try to ask Chris if he has any thoughts on what we're hearing might be a real interesting Monday
yeah.
for us here.
I hope you guys aren't planting your flowers, because the weather forecasts for Monday, as we used to say, will be a character builder.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling if you plant your flowers, you're going to see your money just kind of wash away. And I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people right now going, hey, thanks. I've been out there all day today enjoying the cool weather doing just that. But, it's...
What was it on Facebook? You said people were cautioning a guy that had the flowers in his truck. So he said, okay, he's just going to back his truck in the garage.
Into the garage.
The flowers.
Yeah. He said, do you think it's too early for me to sit these out on my patio? And everybody went, yeah. Why would you want it? Because he had a couple hundred dollars worth of flowers in the back of his truck. Why would you want to run the risk of it? But it's very tempting. I mean, when it's like in the 60s,
oh, it's been so nice.
You know, and you walk by the flower, and it's like they speak to you. They say, buy me now. I won't be here in 2 weeks. If you wait till Mother's Day, it's going to be really not so good. So do it now.
By the way, speaking of the weather being a little interesting, mm-hmm. as we're driving in tonight, in fact, go to our Facebook page and see some of the pictures that Johnny took. It was the most fascinating, as we're getting close into the downtown area and the Drake Hotel, the beam mm-hmm. was reflecting against kind of a fog layer.
It was cutting through the fog, and it looks like the bat signal.
Yeah.
And as we were driving along, and that happens to be a stretch of road where there are quite a few potholes, and you know where they are, because you'll say to me,
"Yep,
stand by, coming up. The bump is, or the pothole," and I'm snapping. I'm going, I got to get this picture. And I got a really good one, I think. So, but it is, it's foggy. It's a weird day because it's cold and, yeah.
Also, coming up a little later tonight, hopefully my voice.
You only have 4.5 hours to talk.
I get so emotional about what we're doing. Excuse me. A little later tonight, Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, will be joining us. And by the way, our, a review of the Ford Explorer is now up on Consumer Guide's website, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you want to check that out from our trip to the Grand Canyon.
Tom and I were sharing some ideas for tonight's program. I don't think we were brought you in on that meeting. So if you guys are curious about the fact that ethanol is going to be gas is going to have 15% ethanol in it, and a listener had sent a message and said, do I have to worry about my older car, like she has a 14-year-old car, using that gasoline? And I thought, well, that's a good question to ask Tom. So mm-hmm. I did that, and he's going to be prepared to talk about 15% ethanol. Yeah. It's been 10%.
Yeah.
And anyway, you need to know that if you want to be aware of the fact that it could do something to your car if it's an older car.
And speaking of things that power your vehicles, we may talk a little bit about a story I saw earlier this week. Over in Great Britain, they have passed a law that says, and I'm going to have to look it up, over the next, I want to say by 2030, they won't have any more ICE engines. Mm. They're going for battery powers. So initially, they're going to say, okay, no ICE engines. You can't have hybrids. And then after a couple of years, they're saying no more hybrids, all
wow.
battery power. So they're becoming the
That's
first
huge.
Country on the planet to say, yeah, we're really serious about this.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to talk about that for sure. Well, on the other side of the glass tonight, our producer du jour yeah. is Mr. Sammy.
Hey, Sammy.
Sign in, Sammy.
How we doing?
Okay. I know you're not thrilled because the Cubs, you're a big fan.
I mean, wins and losses. That's happened. That's life.
And the Sox lost today, too. But one of the things I love is they're in it.
Yeah.
Till the very end.
Yeah. They're giving them a run for their money.
Both sides, north side, south side, are exciting to watch
yeah.
right
Chicago
now.
Baseball is back.
It
yeah.
really is. And it was fun. Last night I was frustrated because we don't have Apple TV, so we couldn't flip over to the Cubs game after we watched a great White Sox game.
Yeah, that is such a bummer, for especially after all the subscribe to Marquee and we've got all your games.
And then,
no, I'm sorry. And tonight it was on Fox.
Yeah, so it's hard to keep up with it.
That's getting out of hand. Too many subscriptions to watch football, baseball. But I think that's like what we're heading to. I mean, it's already started, but subscriptions to watch your favorite sports.
Yeah, you pick your favorite sport, and then you have to commit to that, and then...
But one of the coolest things I saw, and I'll have to see if I can find the picture, it was on Facebook. It was this couple who got married.
Oh, yes.
At Sox Park.
Park.
And their schedule was, there was like
a
pre-wedding reception.
Yes.
Then the wedding.
Wedding.
Then the game.
Then the reception. So they had the game timed down to the minute.
But it was the reception depending on the time the game would end.
Yeah. And so they had, specifically, they hoped that the game would end at this time so they could start their party. And I thought, well, that's kind of bold. I'm going to blame the loss on them. They put the pressure on the team. That's the problem. The team is like, oh, no, we've got to finish by 3:15 so that they can have their reception. I know that doesn't work. Bob Fagudas with us in the studio. Bob, you can go home. You fixed Steve's headphones. You've done your job.
I did my one. Yeah, I'm good.
You're good now. Are you a gardener, Bob?
No.
I love that look. Like, no.
And you really had to think for about a millisecond to answer that question.
Well, my wife decided that this year she was going to become a gardener.
Oh.
And so she bought all these little greenhouses, and my house, my dining room table turned into an indoor grow. And basically my son, who really doesn't have a green thumb, turned three flats of hostas, I think, into a mold factory. So that went
overwatering.
I guess. I stay out of it. But needless to say, there's a glow coming from my dining room on a nightly basis that's just otherworldly. It's just very odd.
Oh, that's interesting.
See, you sound like me. I have a purple thumb.
Oh yeah. And
but you have an appreciation for it.
Oh, I absolutely applaud and love and take pictures of all of the wonderful stuff that Johnny is able to grow in our garden.
I grow weeds. Yeah.
I do that too. Yeah. Not intentional.
Speaking of mold, we recently learned that mold is not always a bad thing.
Really?
With this guitar I recently got, and it's a spalted, that's the term they use.
Spalted wood.
Actually has to do with the mold causing different kind of coloration and patterns in the wood, and it becomes a very desirable kind of wood that is now on this one guitar that
Until it starts smelling. Someday you're going to unzip the guitar casing. It smells like dirty socks in there. Ew. No, that was weird because we kept saying, well, what in the world do they mean by spalted wood?
And it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. You know who we should talk to sometime? Former newsman, Vic, from here at the radio station.
Yeah.
He has a fabulous woodworking business. in the Appalachian Mountains.
In fact, he just opened up his other Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a break for news. And again, it looks like we are, in fact, going to have a press conference from the White House. So stay with us right here on WGN.
And Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, it has been an interesting night, to say the least. And it's been a week when we've been following a lot of different headlines,
yeah.
Some of them weather-related. Some incredible stories of wildfires impacting some of our southeastern states,
right.
Georgia, Alabama,
and
our part of Florida. And we wanted to get a little bit of an update on what's going on down there.
Right. And we bring in our friend Chris Smith. He's a chief meteorologist for Panhandle Weather. And Chris, thank you for joining us tonight. And thank you for hanging in there as we kind of pushed everything around for the president to speak.
Hey, it's no problem at all. I hope you all are doing well, even though you're not on vacation.
Yeah.
I saw that you were down here, and then, like, I looked, and, like, next
we
thing you
gone.
Know, you're in the Grand Canyon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, because we have been watching and hearing from our neighbors about the fact that this is like nothing we've experienced, right, in that area with the wildfires that have taken parts of Georgia, causing evacuations, destroying homes. What's the latest, Chris?
Yeah, it's up over 38,000 acres. There's kind of two main fires over southern parts of Georgia. And I think it was last I heard was about 120 homes were destroyed and nearly 1,000 others were being threatened by the fires. And yeah, it's been really, really dry here as of late. We were fine up until through last summer, and then, like, pretty much later in the fall, like, the faucet got turned off and we haven't seen a whole lot of rainfall. Now, I say that we did get a little bit of rain this morning here, but nothing that's going to fix the drought situation. I think we're honestly going to have to kind of survive. You know, our wet season comes up in the summertime. Hopefully that does okay, and then we'll have probably El Nino developing this fall and winter, and I think that's when we'll kind of maybe dig ourselves out of this hole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious, Chris, you mentioned that we spent some time in the Grand Canyon, and we did, and one of the things we saw while we were out there was information about water restrictions. For people planning to go to the Gulf Coast or Georgia or Florida, are there any water restrictions in place at this point?
We don't really have any water restrictions right now, but we do have burn bans, which, you know, almost all the counties in the Panhandle right now, there's four counties that don't, but most of them do have a burn ban. That affects, for the most, if someone coming down here, I mean, they're probably not going to be doing burning, but when you think about it, like beach bonfires, stuff like that, they're not going to be able to do those types of things. But yeah, it's the burn bans are kind of the bigger thing that we have. We don't really have any water restrictions as it stands right now.
Chris, what do you hear about the cause of the Georgia fires being a wayward balloon that hit an electrical line?
I saw that. I was just doing some checking this evening and came across that. And, you know, I mean, it can happen. You know, just weird stuff like that. I mean, 90% of wildfires are caused by humans, and most of the rest are caused by lightning. I guess technically this would be falling under the human category.
Yeah.
Since it was, I guess, one of our balloons, I guess you would say. But yeah, just goes to show how, you know, careful you have to be. And, like, they've been talking here, like, you know, about common sense stuff, like with, like, cigarette butts and stuff. But then,
sure,
like,
right,
other things, like, about just, like, not parking your car on the grass because, like, the grass is really dry and the car is really hot and stuff like that.
Or certainly not pulling over and leaving your car running on
the
grass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, can I just say as an aside, I'd like to outlaw metallic balloons, because there's one report that says, in fact, this was a kid's party balloon that ended up striking an electric line. And I'm like, that's insane. If you consider,
you know, I mean, down here, like, the big thing with balloons is, like, not having balloons for things because they can go out into the Gulf.
Sure.
And,
right.
Sea turtles think they're food and stuff like that. But,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to segue from wildfires to hopefully this isn't going to happen, but we saw that the apparently the Hurricane Center has come out with their prediction, and it's looking as if Florida may be in the eye of a whole lot of stuff for hurricane season. What are you hearing?
Well, so I think what is going to be the key thing this year is going to be El Nino. You know, if El Nino forms, that generally suppresses tropical activity. Colorado State, they had it as an average to slightly below average hurricane season coming up. But you have to remember, 1992, there were only, I think, like eight named storms in 92. Well, one of them was Hurricane Andrew, you know. So
yeah.
In the end, like, it's funny, as a meteorologist, you know, it, like, I don't worry too much about, like, how many storms are we going to have? Because, like, it really only takes one storm to have a very bad hurricane season. And so, you know, that's what we're going to head into the summer with, that kind of attitude. You just hope for the best. And but, you know, we're hoping that it's going to end up being a little bit quieter because of El Nino. But that doesn't mean that you can't have a big hurricane and you don't get hit. I mean, even last year we had Melissa, 13th named storm, and that ended up being a doozy. Now, you know, it didn't directly hit the United States, but it did obviously impact Jamaica.
Yeah. So hope for the best and be prepared.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, get your radios, get your batteries, get your water, get all that stuff so that you don't have to rush out the night before we hear you say that the hurricane is going to make landfall.
Well, fingers crossed that we don't have to end up saying that.
Yes.
The blatant plug light has just started flashing, so for people who aren't as familiar with Panhandle weather as we are, tell us all about panhandleweather.com.
Panhandle Weather, we're a streaming weather channel. You can watch us anywhere. We have a mobile phone app. We're on YouTube. We have a Roku app. Soon we'll be on Fire Stick and Apple TV. But we're all things weather for the Florida Panhandle, from Pensacola over to Tallahassee. And it's a whole lot of fun. And I want you all to watch out Monday night. You're going to have some nasty weather up there in Chicagoland. So be watching out for that. Hail, tornadoes, and damaging wind all on the table right now.
We've had some flooding that is just...
It's crazy.
It has to be historic because... And more rain is, as you say, predicted for Monday. And I was saying earlier in the show, for all those people that are rushing out to the garden centers today, Monday's going to be a character builder. So, you know, listen and watch that weather.
But now that you mentioned our weather, and that's something that I was pleasantly surprised to see on Panhandle Weather, that when we're down in Florida, obviously we get a whole lot of information about what's going on down there. But we came back to Chicago, and I click on Panhandle Weather, and you've got information about basically all over the country, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, no matter where you are, if you're in the Grand Canyon, you're in Florida, or you're up in Chicago, it will say it follows you and knows to give you alerts based upon where your location is. So if there is bad weather on Monday night, you will get alerts from the Panhandle Weather app to say, hey, watch out, tornado watch, whatever the case may be.
You should be very proud because this is your passion, your baby, and it has really exploded for you, hasn't it, Chris?
We're up to over 24,000 app downloads, 100,000 followers on our social media platforms. I mean, it's been very humbling. It's a lot of fun, but it's just, I mean, we've talked about it before, how media is changing so quickly. And now, you know, all of us can broadcast. Now you have to, you know, are you creating content that people want to consume? You know, that's a question. But, you know, all of us has the ability to broadcast. You don't have to have a movie studio, a TV station, or a radio station to broadcast anymore.
Well, you've proven that, and you're doing a darn good job. So panhandleweather.com, you can check it out, and Chris can keep you up to date. And again, as you said, be watching the weather, watching the skies on Monday, and we will be in touch with you when we're back down there in June. Okay, Chris?
Absolutely. In the meantime, if you need me to water the plants for you, just let me know.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
That's Chris Smith. He is the chief meteorologist with Panhandle Weather. And really, it's a great site. Yes, Chris is a friend, but this is a really, really, yeah. really good site. And it doesn't matter where you are in the country. It's panhandleweather.com. We'll take a break. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, the best to you. That is the River Road Trio, and it has been much too long since we have had two-thirds of the River Road Trio in the studio yep. with us.
We've got Janelle and Terry Carter in the house. Another winning couple that performs, works together, lives together, puts up with each other, right?
All That's right.
Yes.
All the above.
Hey, welcome. We were talking, I think it was before COVID, the last time we saw you guys.
Yeah.
That seems impossible.
It seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah.
We are so happy to be here with you.
I think the last New Year's Eve was the New Year's Eve before COVID, 2019
yeah.
into 20, you guys were in here.
You guys were here with Ronnie Rice,
Ronnie Rice.
And
Empty Pockets.
Corky Siegel, Empty Pockets.
Sydney Friedman.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we had a full house that night. And
we sure
were just,
did.
You know, hooping and hollering, not knowing that in a few months we would be sitting at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Wow.
I want to go back to something we were talking about just off the air. And I can't believe this because we have known you for how many years now?
Well, a good 10 years.
Yeah. We're going on a decade.
And you guys do wonderful music.
Thank you.
And I just find out that Janelle says, I don't have a good sense of rhythm. What?
I do not.
How can you do what you do?
Well, I do a lot of counting on Terry, you know, but I really don't. And if you put, you know, a tambourine in my hand and have me sing at the same time, I'm really in trouble.
Yeah.
I just am mesmerized by drummers because those years of dance. You know, you'd think I'd have...
You know, I think I'm going to come to your rescue because you do okay. I mean,
you do okay.
He's so smart.
Okay.
So.
Wow. That came out completely wrong. Sorry.
It's all right.
I want to hear that conversation in the car going
you're
home.
You're better at it than you think.
Oh, well, thank you. That's better.
What I meant to say. Wow. I am sleeping in the garage tonight, aren't I? No, I mean, I think it's a, you know, just a...
Confidence?
Yeah, 100%. It's
yeah,
a confidence
yeah.
issue.
Because you can at least, you can tap out 2 and 4. I do 1 and 3. So
well, it depends on the day.
Which is why I've always told Johnny she could be a great bass player.
Because I'm like 1 and 3, and he's looking at me and I'm going, I know, I'm doing it wrong, right?
I mean, maybe that's the key for you and
yeah.
I.
But also, Johnny doesn't realize, and she will never admit to this, she thinks she has a horrible voice. She doesn't realize, we'll be driving along, she sings harmony.
Oh.
But I don't hear myself, so.
And it's wonderful.
That is a talent in itself. Not everybody can do that.
That's what I started out doing.
Really?
When I was teaching myself to sing. When I was a kid, I would ride around in my car, and I would never sing the melody. I'd always sing a harmony. And even if there wasn't one
And you
there,
didn't
I'd
know that that's
one.
What you were doing when you were doing it?
Yeah. My dad was a singer.
Oh, yeah.
Guitar player and a singer. So I noticed when he would have friends over when I was little, he would always sing the harmony to whoever was singing.
So you learned from him.
So I learned to sing harmony from my dad.
Yeah.
I just loved singing harmony so much, that's all I would do when I would get in the car.
Huh. And so you have been River Road Trio for 15 years now, right?
Yeah, just about. Yep.
Look at Terry's face. He's like, wow.
We can never 18. Remember what came first, our marriage or the trio.
Seriously?
Yeah. So... The trio for 15, and we're getting ready to celebrate 14
yeah,
years
I
of marriage.
That is right.
So, Terry, you were a professional performer, and then you met Janelle and decided to a band was in your future.
Yeah, well, I was in a band prior called The Clients, and then our piano player at the time, he was getting ready to retire. So I knew we were going to have to kind of, you know, bring in a new piano player, and that's when I found Kyle. But I also wanted to take it a different direction and put a whole new face to it rather than just me singing all lead vocals. And
and that was
me. And voila, that's the new face. I figured I'd take the band a whole different way and, you know, just put a whole new fresh spin on it.
And Kyle is the other member of River Road.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And the clients.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
We love you, Kyle.
So 18 years we've been playing together,
yeah.
15 of those years, River Road Trio.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
I remember when I called you, Janelle, I don't know how I came to call you, and you picked up the phone, and we had this wonderful conversation, yeah. And I said, whether or not you do this show, I want you to be my friend, because yeah. you're so interesting.
It was so easy, right? Those are the friendships, you know, that are going to last
yeah.
a lifetime, because it's just easy, but like we've known each other.
I remember when we called you, one of my first questions was, are you located on River Road? Is that how it happened?
So we grew up, my family, near a river road. You had a river road. Kyle had a river road.
But this is not the river road out by the airport on the...
No. These are really river roads.
This is like, yeah. like cornfield.
It's really yes. a piece of wood,
yeah.
you know. If you miss it, then it's yeah. tacked really? To a tree yes. somewhere.
So were you a professional singer, Janelle, when you yeah. met...
Yes. So I started singing when I was around 20. Mm-hmm. But I was a writer before anything. So I started mm-hmm. writing at the age of 6 and published poetry by 7. And then...
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, I had a really, really bad poem published at the age of 7.
And do you remember it?
It was about snow being cold. I just know that. I think I blocked it. But such a proud moment. You know, don't realize. I remember writing poems in my bedroom and... running out to my parents and saying, like, okay, sit down, or I'm going to perform for you. Yes, and it was just sort of natural for me.
Yeah.
Started singing around 20 and produced my first album when I was 22 years old, in 23. And we were just talking about this. I was so blessed to cut my teeth with some of the greatest Chicago musicians, mm-hmm. Bobby Scumaci, Phil Miller, Jeff Lowe, Mark Ott. They really helped me become who mm-hmm. an artist, you know, that I am. And I did a small little tour with some original music in the early 2000s before meeting this guy. And mm-hmm. and then,
but yeah. you're still writing.
Still
and writing books, too.
Yes, yes.
And speaking. Yes, you were so yes. busy as a speaker.
I love it so much.
And what's the name of your speaking?
So my keynote that I've been going all over the nation is Finding Your Voice and Unlocking Confidence. Mm-hmm. I love mindset and shifting that mindset, what confidence we think it looks like, but mm-hmm. what it really looks like, and that's vulnerability. Stepping mm-hmm. into who you are authentically and self-worth, self-talk. How are we talking to ourselves and to each other? And it's I'm finding across the country, whether it's, you know, a corporate speaking event
or high schoolers, because you just did that.
Yeah, I think that's my audience. I love them so much that these young high schoolers, they haven't heard any of that yet.
Yeah.
And
is it harder with high schoolers right now because of all the negative stuff they see on social media?
Yes, I think that's why this work is extra important right
There's
now.
There's a lot of pressure
yeah.
on them.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that they just want somebody to believe in them
yeah.
and to think that, you know, they're good. Like I told this group in Plainfield North last Wednesday, I said, you get a bad rap as this generation, mm-hmm. but you're so, so smart. And you're so brilliant, and you're such great leaders. You know, they had a whole different upbringing with COVID and
sure,
having
sure.
to navigate what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they get enough credit. And
I think you're right.
You know,
yeah.
And they light up when somebody believes in them. And mm-hmm. so I'm so happy that I get to be that person. For
oh,
them.
You should be.
And sometimes they just need to hear somebody say, it's okay just to be you.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't forget mm-hmm. all this other peer pressure nonsense.
Yeah. Well, before we take a break, while we're on the subject of speaking engagements that you do, can people have you come in and speak to their group, to their school? I mean,
yes,
how would they go about
absolutely.
Getting a hold of you for?
So the best way is going to be my website, which is my name, JanelleMarieCarter.com. Mm-hmm.
J-O.
J-O, yes.
N-E.
Yep. E-L-L-E, MarieCarter.com. And send me a note. I'm booking all over the place. We travel all over the place. And I, from, like I said, corporate to schools, next week I'm getting ready to speak to a junior high co-ed. And I'll tell you, we have opened for many, many artists and done all of these things, and nobody is as terrifying as the junior high boys. they give me a run for my money.
I bet.
But yes, I would love to come and share my message with anybody.
Well, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, can we con you into playing whatever it is you want to play?
You'd have twist our arm.
Okay.
Of course,
okay.
Yes, we would love to.
We have Janelle and Terry Carter, two-thirds of River Road Trio, with us in studio tonight here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're just talking guitars with two-thirds of the members of the River Road Trio. And we want to get a little more music, but there's a particular story about the song you're about to do, right?
Anymore. And we were just talking about working with your spouse.
Right.
So this is a great lead-in.
Yeah.
Anymore was written on the way home from a show. We had an argument, and it really
it's
did.
It's the only one we've ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
It just keeps going.
14 years, the same argument.
It did. It started out with, like, you don't do this anymore. Well, if you did this, then I would do this. But you don't do this anymore, you know? And by the time we got home.
You were tired, that's why.
We were so tired.
Yes.
I was pulling 110% that day. And
wow.
And she did she get that line?
She heard that from somebody.
I learned from the best.
And I was stomping on a cheeseburger.
Yeah. And so we got home, and he went one way, and I went into the office, and I grabbed a guitar off the wall, and I started writing the song. But like I said a little bit earlier, I only know a few chords. So I got stuck at the bridge. And so I had to go wake him up. And I said, you're going to have to put your writer hat on and put the husband hat away for a minute. And we have a song that... And so we started this song, and it was such a pretty ballad. And I'll play it to some tiny little. It started out like this. Used to love when I would kiss you, you used to say, it's what you live for. So that's how it started, and it was so pretty. We took it into our producer, and he said, my God, that's depressing. He said, we need to make that fast.
Okay.
And so we did. We recorded it fast. Mm-hmm. We put it on our album. Now fast forward about 5 or 6 years, middle of the night, we're COVID again. We're in the, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And we get an email from a choreographer in France with a video attached. And in French, he said, we have found your music and we've written a dance.
A dance?
A dance. Because line dancing is huge in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And
that blows my mind.
Yeah, it's like the 90s there.
It's crazy.
So line dancers were dancing to your song Anymore.
And we open this video and there's 300...
in this auditorium.
People dancing to this song, our song.
Yeah.
And so here's the cool thing what's happening in Europe. The bands that are playing live are being directed by the choreographers. So say you're a choreographer. You're going to submit your list of dances to me as a band. And the band is going to learn those songs so that you bring in the dancer crowd, which is how we ended up going to France last fall, because a band called Crazy Pug, who is a steampunk band in the south of France, started playing our music because there was a demand because there was a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they invited us to come and perform a country festival.
That's
with them.
How pinch cool.
Right? It was great.
It was a bucket list because I'd never been to Europe, let alone play, and to do both
of them. Well, you'd never been as a rock star either.
Yeah.
You know?
It was amazing.
They treated us amazing.
They did. Like,
it was wonderful.
And my mom was born in France, and we have family, lots and lots of family. So it was a very special trip. We renewed our vows while we were there. It was really great. So that's all that happened. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, if you're arguing with your spouse.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and that is the version that they were line dancing to in France. That is so cool.
It was something to see.
It was an experience, that's for sure.
Can I ask you guys to do a chorus of the slow version?
Sure.
I'm going to have to retune.
Okay.
All right. Retune it, baby.
All right.
Terry has a cool Gibson guitar that sounds wonderful.
It's a very cool Gibson guitar.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love it.
Okay, I don't drink beer, but I really want one right now. I'm like,
see, see, you need to do a special vinyl release with the fast version on one side and the slow version on the other side.
That's a great idea. The slow version has such a different meaning.
Yeah.
It does.
It's
like I said, I could cry my beer.
Yeah, it's like it's like it's over.
Yes.
So sad.
Well, it's not over. And and you went to France. When was that?
That was the end of August of 2025.
Wow.
And yeah, it was the trip of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But to see people, you know, a whole world away singing your lyrics.
Well, when they sent you the video in the middle of the night, were they singing your song in French?
No. So everything was...
They were actually playing your song
in English,
Wow.
And we have a friend who does line dance teaching here.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the French steps and we had to have it translated into... English so that he could teach his troupe, and then we videoed them doing our, you know, the dance. And the choreographer, his name is Michel.
Of course.
He brought us to his family's inn when we were there for a beautiful, beautiful lunch. We learned how to play all kinds of French games, and we had, you know, like a 4-hour lunch at this beautiful inn.
So cool. Yeah.
So special. Oh.
So where are you guys going to be over the summer? You've got some things laid out that you can tell us about?
We are all over the place locally. Yeah. So many times we have a lot of travel, you know, ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a very heavy local schedule, which is really fun for us because we get to reconnect with our fans and our friends that we see on the road. So
I just clicked on your website. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to click on my on our website to know where we're going to be.
So
I never know where we're at.
It looks like you got a gig on Sunday.
We do.
As in a few hours from now.
Yeah.
At 4.
Yeah, that's in Dwight, Illinois.
In Dwight, that's Willie's Pub.
Yes.
And then you got the 1st, the 3rd, the 6th, the 8th, the 9th, the 10th. Whoa.
Yeah, it's a busy.
Your May is packed.
So here's what's really neat about what's happening lately with our shows. We have been doing all kinds of Sunday fun days.
Mm-hmm.
And our fan base loves that for a couple of reasons. Everybody's home and in bed by like 7, which is great.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, but we've have been partnering with venues. So, you know, they'll have a lunch special and maybe a drink special, and people can come out, have lunch.
So you do a little brunch and then listen to live music.
Yeah. You do like
and
a 2 to 5 thing.
And you get home.
And they're home by 5. It's great. And it's family friendly. We've been doing, we have a beautiful, beautiful goddaughter. Her name is Aubrey Olson, and she's 11, but she's been singing with us since she was about 3 or 4.
Cool.
And so, you know, their family can come, and I think the little one, Addie, the little sister, I think she's going to be a musician too. She's been putting a guitar in her hands.
Oh,
so you know, families can come. She can, they can come up on stage and sing. And
so your next fun day is
Tomorrow is a Sunday fun day. And
is a Sunday fun day.
And
then Dwight.
And then after that, we're May 3rd at the Lakes in Marseilles. The Lakes is a country club.
So what did the French think when you said it was Marseilles? Because that's what we call it.
And Marseille.
Marseille. Yeah. They're like, it's not Marseilles.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because when we advertise for that show, they'll, you know, comment in French and say, oh, how we wish you were at our Marseilles. Our Marseille.
And Terry, it looks like on your Facebook page or your website at riverroadtrio.com, you do some solo shows too.
I play, it's a wine bar in Morris. It's called Montage. I've been there for, oh my goodness, probably 8 years now. They're wonderful. It's a beautiful place. It's very, it's a listening room, basically. I mean, it's nice and quiet. It's not a noisy bar.
Good.
Yeah.
They have great drinks, great food. The staff is fantastic. And, they just—it's just a great atmosphere, you know. You go in there and you can hold a conversation, you know. And I'm in the back, you know. The people are listening, but I'm kind of like, it's kind of nice.
He's a whole vibe.
I kind of tuck myself away, and I'm just kind of—I create this vibe, you know, because it's not about me; it's about everything, you know. It's about the entire, you know, energy in the room.
Do you approach the show with a set list, or do you just kind of read the room?
Yeah, I kind of read the room.
Yeah.
You know, I have a, you know, a list of kind of of basics that I have, but I kind of pick and choose from there.
Speaking of listening rooms, have you two ever played Space in Evanston?
No, but we love we love Space.
Yeah, we've been there.
Oh, yeah.
What a great room.
It's for people who haven't been there. It's one of these places where people go to listen, to the performers.
I saw Albert Lee there.
Okay.
And literally like 5 feet from him. I mean, it's so cool because that venue is so neat because you order a pizza from
up front,
take it in the, you know, to the high top table, and you have a pizza and a beer, and you get to watch talent like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's neat room.
I mean, yeah.
It's a wonderful place.
We got to get them over there.
Yeah.
To perform.
Please do.
We would love that.
We're so lucky, though, because we have great venues in Chicago.
Oh, yes.
You know, we were saw a feature on, it was on CBS News last night, where they did a feature on theater in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't realize that we're like no other city, because we have these storefront theaters all over
Chicago
the place.
Chicago is the theater city that New York, Los Angeles look to.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Because you can go into a neighborhood and there's a theater.
You're absolutely right.
And I knew that, but I didn't realize that other cities didn't do that
too.
You don't have storefront theater. You don't have annoyance theaters in New York or Los Angeles.
Oh.
Did not know that.
And we love theater.
But it made me think how lucky we are, though, because we have musicians that are so, so good, like yourself, and you don't leave here because you can get work here. You don't have to go to L.A.
Because there is such a creative community, and the creative community is supportive of everybody else in that community.
And that's
a wonderful thing to find.
Because
did you guys ever think about going to Nashville to hang your hat there?
Well, Terry lived in Nashville for a while.
I did a bit, yes.
But it's a business, right?
Yeah, we have gone with our original music to play in Nashville. We have some wonderful friends, co-writers, and I think the thing is, it's such an easy city to get to from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 45-minute flight.
Yeah.
That it makes it hard to kind of pay Nashville prices when we can be right here and hop on a plane.
Yeah.
You know, all the love to Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we've had many, many performers say that they tried Nashville, but they felt like it was just too much of a business and not as much of the music.
Yeah.
The thing of it is there's so many musicians. I mean, not that there's not a ton of musicians here, but the thing I think that's different with Nashville is what I experience is like on Lower Broadway where they're playing, every bar has a band and the musicians. I mean, it's around the clock. And there's you know, they used to say, you know, say you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a guitar player.
Right.
I mean, it's just that crowded.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of times these guys come off the road, they'll come up from touring, and they'll be off for a week or a couple of days, and they'll go play on Broadway because they got buddies there, and they'll sit in and keep their chops up. And so it's very hard to break into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very tight-knit circle there.
Yeah.
But it's... I mean, you'll...
In very business.
Yeah, very business.
Yeah.
Some of the best
musicians. With the emphasis on business.
With the emphasis on business.
It's not... I don't necessarily feel the support like we have here.
Chicago is a really special city with support of artists and musicians with each other. It's a really beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have more beautiful music. And I don't mean that the way some people think of beautiful music. This won't put you to sleep, so stick around. Because one of my favorite songs by Ripper Road Trio is coming up. All that and a whole lot more here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Two-thirds of the River Road Trio in the studio with us. And can I cut to the chase?
Yes.
And ask for a request of one of your favorite songs and my favorite songs, too?
Right. In fact, I think this is the reason why... We met you guys because I heard this song and I went, I got to find out who's doing this, right?
Yeah, our good buddy,
Jeff. Well, who introduces? Yeah, Jeff Boyle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Jeff so was, through yeah, Jeff, yes. Jeff's you the heard reason. That yep. song, and then that's right. that, yep. was the, that was the moment.
I used to play with Jeff years ago.
He is one talented
dude.
Oh,
boy, is he. He's crazy good.
For people who don't know Jeff, most of the commercials you hear on TV, Jeff had something to do with those commercials. Yep. And he's right here in Chicago, too.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
didn't have to go to L.A. to
yep.
do that.
Nope. Just another
he's brilliant.
One, so.
He's,
yeah.
he's something.
Yeah.
So this is a tune that,
yes.
Oh, that's
that
so good.
That is the definition of a love song.
Yeah.
That is a love song. Especially when you're 80.
We always laugh at the end of that because, you know, we wrote that as, you'll still drive me crazy in a loving way, but then we're like, oh, wait, maybe you're going to really drive
real.
Me
yeah.
crazy.
So we've been getting some texts from some people. Any new albums or anything in your future?
We are in the writing season right now, so we definitely have some stuff on the horizon.
We've got probably a good 4 or 5 that mm-hmm. are there but not finished.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, recorded one. It's about 80% done. Mm-hmm. I just need to go back in and do some guitar work on it. Not quite happy with what I did, so I want to redo it, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And other than that, we've got
we're on our way.
That's
we
ready.
Don't have a date yet, anything set in stone, but we're really leaning in and doing a lot of writing.
When you get it done, come here. We'll have a CD release party.
That would
okay?
be that would yeah. be great. Yeah,
sure, it'd be wonderful.
That would be great.
By the way, I have to ask. Can you explain, because off the air, Terry was showing me his new guitar, which is wonderful. You want to explain what this guitar is? It's gorgeous, and you kind of had it custom made.
Yeah, I did. It's a Gibson. It's a J200, and I love it so much. I've always wanted it's called the Cowboy Strummer, basically, mm-hmm. if you will, you know. And I just always love the tone of it. And
it's got a big sound.
It's very big.
And warm.
Yes. Yeah,
but you had some things customized.
I did. I had some inlays put in it and things like that. But other than that, it's pretty much stock.
So you pimped it out? Is that what you did?
I did.
Because I'm looking at it now. I'm going, oh, yeah, I can see that.
I don't have the lights on it or anything. But, you know, no,
but this is one of the, for guitar players who are listening to us, this is one of those where you put your fingers on the neck and you go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, feels good. Feels right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with it. And like I was telling you earlier, and I have my dad's. It's a 1965 J45,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, he bought that the year I was born. So mm-hmm. I was born in '64, but '65s were out.
Yeah.
So everything that you hear on our recordings is that guitar, because mm-hmm. I just got this. I haven't had it long enough to record with it yet, and I probably mm-hmm. actually won't, just because of sentimental reasons. I'm going to keep using my dad's guitars.
It's your good luck mm-hmm. guitar.
Yeah, you know what? It's
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Right, yeah.
I'm not going to change it. You know, I'll use this. I use this on my solo when I do my solo thing because it's big, like you say, and it covers a lot of air.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because you don't have to plug it in or anything, and people can still hear you in a venue.
Right, and I do plug in, mm-hmm. but because mm-hmm. they got a whole house system there, so but
nice.
It's really nice. But it sounds really nice. But just with me being by myself. A voice and a guitar, it's nice to have this because it fills. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
got a big sound.
Before we take a break, a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday night, I opened up my phone. I was sitting here, and there was this picture of the two of you with the one and only Tommy Emmanuel.
Oh.
You had actually gone to Kansas, right?
We did. We found a night that we had off that Tommy was playing, and we flew to Kansas City, and we got to see...
And you did the meet and greet.
We did the meet and greet, and right away we, you know, told him our connection and our friendship with you, and what an absolute just doll.
And I made myself a promise: anytime he's near, I'm going to find a way to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be seeing him at Indiana, right?
Shipshawana.
Yeah.
So. He's not coming to Chicago, which really I don't get it, because every time he's come to Chicago, it's like standing room only.
Yeah.
And he has no problem.
We have introduced him at so many of his Chicago venues.
Yeah. In the very first place, you guys will know the town of Elburn.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
The yeah. very first place he played when he came to Chicago was an old schoolhouse that was turned into an auditorium Elburn.
Oh. This is back in the days when nobody knew who the heck Tommy was.
Mm. And remember,
he would stay at our house when he would do his Midwest performances.
He stepped on stage in Elburn. He says, "I'm so confused. I thought this was Melbourne." Being an Australian.
Right.
And of course, the audience laughed hysterically. And there was a little girl.
Yep, I will never forget that.
Her Sunday best. She was wearing this, like her Easter dress, and she was sitting there with her grandmother. And we watched, this was an amazing thing. As the show went on, she got a little farther out in her seat, and by the end of the show, she was leaning on the seat.
She was just mesmerized.
She just wanted to be on stage. She was just so. It was so fun to watch a child, like 7 or 8.
To tell you how long ago this was. This was right after Tommy had recorded the album with Chet Atkins, the day Fingerpickers took over the world. So how many years ago that was.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we kind of witnessed the same thing in Kansas. There was like this, I don't know, 10 or 12-year-old boy just sitting 2 seats down from Janelle, and he was just like at the edge of his seat the whole time.
Just couldn't stop moving. He was so excited.
Isn't that fun?
And Tommy actually even... dedicated something to him and said his name, and he was just beaming.
Wow.
And I said to Terry, do you wonder if we're watching the next generation, that next greatest guitar player? You know, it was almost like seeing a snapshot of maybe what Tommy looked like when he was young watching, you know.
Yes,
somebody.
But remember, he was 4 years old, and his father had him and his brother and sister out working. Literally not going to school, but working.
They
just
were
driving from
family
city
band.
To city. Yeah. And working hard.
Yeah.
And I think,
what a
yikes.
Story.
Yes.
You know.
And I'm not telling tales out of school because we've talked with Tommy about this. For people who listen to Tommy, who see Tommy, he only hears out of one ear.
Yeah. He had yellow fever as a child and lost his hearing in one ear.
You're kidding.
Just imagine what it would be like if he had both working ears.
No kidding.
Do we know which one? Because I'm curious, because I know he always sets his amp and everything to his left.
I think it's his right ear. Okay. I think it is, yeah.
That would make sense.
I'm trying to imagine the way he tilts his head when he plays.
It's always off to his left.
In fact, partly personal, but I will never forget the day Tommy was staying in our house. And we had we told him about our friend Doyle Dykes. Doyle had an acoustic neuroma. He had to have his brain operated on.
You know, that's like a tumor that's on your brain.
Wow.
An acoustic neuroma. And I thought, how bizarre. A guy who plays acoustic guitar, he gets an acoustic neuroma.
Oh, my gosh.
So after the operation, which was successful, but Doyle constantly has what sounds like the rushing of a train that he hears in one ear.
Oh.
We were telling Tommy about this. Tommy's standing in our kitchen. He says, can you call him? We called him, put him on the line. Tommy walked into the living room, and he was talking with Doyle about
how
you deal with this.
And we're in the kitchen going, what? And he went on to tell the story about how he'd lost his hearing when he was a child.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And you have two... out of this world.
Two of the best musicians on the planet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
On the planet.
Yep.
Dealing with those kinds of challenges. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. That is unreal. I never knew that. And, and Doyle Dykes, oh my gosh.
In fact, if you want to see, and I know we got a break, but if you want to see a crazy video, look up Tommy Emmanuel and Doyle Dykes. It's a performance they did, I think it was over in Italy. They're playing together, and they're playing the same guitar together. It is just mind-boggling.
One's behind the other, and then playing the neck.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's,
we'll have to see that.
We have Terry and Janelle Carter, River Road Trio. And again, they've got a gig coming up at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, just a few hours from now, in Dwight at Willie's Pub. So stop by and tell them you heard them on the radio. They're with us for a few more minutes here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're trading stories about couples that we know. We need to get all of the... We need to do a We Are the World of all the couples who are in groups that we know.
Proving that you can work together and not hate each other. Yes. Okay, we're rapidly running out of time with River Road Trio, Janelle and Terry Carter.
Can you ever slowly walk out of time? Everybody's always rapidly
running. I've crawled out of time before, so... They are going to be at Willie's Pub in Dwight at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And then check out their website, riverroadtrio.com. Wow.
And any other blatant plugs we've missed? books, records, appearances?
My goodness.
Just
you,
send
you've
money?
Covered, yeah. You've covered it all. We appreciate you so very much.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
And we love our time with you.
Oh, thank just you.
Well, back at you. But the only thing, we need to make a change. It can't be this long between visits.
That's right. We're going to make sure of that.
That's a deal.
Yeah, they'll be standing outside some Saturday night.
Hey, we're here.
Hello.
Well, that's a workout for you, Terry. You're awake now.
Sitting down.
I'm hanging out to dry a little bit.
I'm a little awake now.
Is it weird sitting, though?
It is. Well, to sing that hard, it's hard to...
Yeah.
But,
and Janelle, and you're usually in front of him, so.
Well, and I usually am helping him a little, but I was so mesmerized by what. And poor Julian here has perfect pitch.
Yeah, so he's going, oh, make it stop.
No.
Somebody pull up. Oh, we have a difficulty now. Wait a minute.
No. River Road Trio. Now, when you're at Willie's Pub on Sunday afternoon, Kyle is with you because you're the whole trio then,
yes,
right?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yes.
And yes, indeed, as we said, Terry does solo shows. Those are also listed on their website, riverroadtrio.com. And Janelle, you can find out about speaking engagements, her books. Yeah. You can just contact her and say, hey, I'd like you to come talk to my high school class.
Would love that.
Absolutely. She's a glutton for punishment.
I am. And everybody, please pray for me because next week I'll be with junior high co-ed kids. And
I'm having so much fun following this teacher online who each week he posts what the slang that the kids are using.
Oh,
it's eye-opening.
This could be helpful.
Unk is the thing now.
Unk?
UNC.
Okay.
You don't want to be called an unk.
You don't.
I guess that means like grandpa.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Well, anytime Terry, you know, fires me up when we're on stage, I'll say, everybody put your hands together for my Uncle Terry.
Okay, you're cutting edge.
Yes, unk. So I was, yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
Cool. It's an education, though.
It definitely is. Yes, I have said many a wrong terms to our teenage daughters.
Just don't say 6'7".
Yeah.
Because that's so last week.
Yeah,
and they get them.
I still never got what that was.
Nobody
but
knows.
No.
It's a mystery.
And it's so, it's in the past.
It's,
Yeah. We'll move on to unk.
We'd explain it to you, but if we did, we'd have to kill you.
Right, yeah. It's like Napster. It's here and gone. Yeah.
Janelle is J-O-N-E-L-L-E, Marie Carter. And you can find out about her books and her speaking engagements, and you can contact her through that website as well.
And in a couple weeks, we'll be putting up videos from tonight's show. And when we do, we'll have links to everything.
Because Julian, with perfect pitch... came back to do our video.
He is now our official videographer.
He is. He was our official videographer when he was also our producer, but it's a little easier, isn't it, when you don't have to worry about running a show at the same time you're videoing.
Double duty is not a fun gig.
I'm laughing because I remember the times when Julian would be doing videos for us when he was wearing his producer's hat as well, and he's like... I think he was working a camera with his watch, right, Julian?
Yeah, there was one time when I had a lens that I could remotely control from my phone.
Yep.
Right.
So
that's right.
So I had my phone strapped to my arm like
it was. That's it. Yes. And we just sat back and went, and we're just doing a radio show, you know.
So he was videoing while he was producing, while he was doing the hokey pokey, putting one leg in and one leg out.
That's right.
Yay, Julian.
Like Inspector Gadget's got all those things.
Yeah, I think I'm tall with long arms.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure catching up with you.
Thank you for having us.
Again, check out riverroadtrio.com.
And stay in touch with us.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Thank you so very much.
Wow.
Always an honor.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And the fact that you're hearing a little different kind of music means, of course, that we're going to be talking about all things automotive.
That's right.
With the man who is the publisher of Consumer Guide, that would be your Tom Appel. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Okay, we
start. Hello, Tom.
We started the show with a technical snafu,
Tom?
And
Tom.
Yeah.
Where are you, Tom?
Okay.
I don't hear Tom.
I know. We go from all that activity, and now it's okay. So quiet in here.
And I wanted to have Tom explain about this album, too, because there is a story behind this album.
This is actually an album that Tom drove to our house and
we
left it.
We have two albums.
Oh, that's right. We have two.
Two by Leslie Baker. And Tom is enamored of Leslie Baker. And are we going to have to go to, I believe we're going to have to go to a telephone because Tom is, Julian, do you want to check too and see if Tom is?
Before we let him get out of here, we're going to see if.
And yeah, Julian hangs out with us now and then. He's now our official videographer.
Yes. And in fact, if you're looking for a videographer for your wedding or for whatever, photographer, that's what he does professionally and just happened to do this radio thing with us for 3 years. And we're happy that we could still woo him back here on a Saturday night to do our videoing.
And Sammy and Julian are scurrying around trying to see if we can establish contact with Tom Appel.
Oh, Tom is shouting on the other end.
Tom, are you? Whoops. No, that's
well, that
the
was
music.
Funky. That was fun.
Well, that was some of the music. But
we just play Tom's music. How's that?
Yeah, we may just do that. Well, speaking of music again, we have to thank.
Yes.
Janelle and Terry. It is so much fun. We forgot how much fun we have every time they're in the studio. They are so good.
And I'm not kidding. When you look at their page of the gigs they've got coming up, it will make your head spin. There are weeks when they're doing like three or four things in a week.
Yeah.
And this goes all the way through summer. But they, as they said just before they left, if you're interested in booking them, please do reach out to them because they'll find a way to. They were working on Saturday afternoon and then came here and did our radio show today.
They're so talented. Mm-hmm. Sammy, what are you hearing, if anything?
Can't get a dial tone. I think he's connected to the ComEx. Julian was telling me that he used to send him an email of a backup number, which I do not have access to.
Okay, well,
there should be a, if you look on the sheet, there should be a number.
Okay, second thought, he's not going to be available. Apparently, there's been a little... I just checked my text messages.
Okay.
Apparently, he's got a bug.
Oh, dear.
I just checked my message and said, I am not feeling well.
Oh.
And I can hardly hold my head up. So
And
he's like the third person this week that I know that has a bug. Yeah. And he said, I am so sorry. He said, I can't function. And I apologize. I did not check my message until just now. I opened it up. And he sent this like over an hour ago. So Tom.
Well, we were kind of focused on other things. So Tom, feel better, buddy.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And we will save the Leslie Baker music for the next time. But literally, Tom was, this is what we were supposed to be playing the last time Tom was on with us.
Yes.
But because of some technical problems, we couldn't do that. So,
well, actually, we couldn't find this woman's music available for us to
it's
play.
It's very hard to find the songs that we can now play on her website. But Tom loves her.
So he bought the CDs.
So he bought the CD. He drove the CDs over to our house.
Left them in our basket and said that he was going to do that. And I don't think, did you think 100% that he was going to do it? Because we had an appointment. And I thought, well, if Tom comes by, he comes by.
Yeah.
And he came by while we were gone and left the CDs for us, which was really sweet. But he loves his music, and that's why we integrated Tom's tunes into the car segment, because he really does listen to music when he's road testing cars. And we thought, well, that's a fun thing for us to bring to the show, like, what's the sound system like in that particular vehicle?
And as we talked several weeks ago, there are different kinds of music that work best with certain car sound systems.
Mm-hmm.
But and speaking of Consumer Guide, if you go to Consumer Guide's website, you will find the road test that we did when we were out in the Grand Canyon with the 2026 Ford Explorer Active. That is now up on Consumer Guide's website.
Yep. That was fun, too, because we had done road tests for over 25 years. In fact, for folks who don't know, we were the first male-female road testers doing reviews of vehicles.
Yeah.
And it was thanks to Jim Mateo, just a brilliant writer, Chicago yeah. Tribune automotive editor, Jim Mateo. Sadly, we lost him a few years ago, much too young. Great
writer.
And Jim
was one of the founders of MAMA, which is the Midwest Automotive Media Association. And we've been members, well, Jim got us involved in this back in...
No, 25 years.
Yeah, at least 25 years.
Back when we were wearing purple polo shirts.
Yes.
Remember, that was like... And I, as I recall, I was the only female in the group at that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim said, you know what, you guys, people aren't doing a male-female thing when reviewing cars. And so he got us started on it, and we did it for a few decades, and it was fun, but it was work, because every time you got in a car, you were actually thinking about, what's this experience,
yeah.
and do I like this, and what are the problems?
What about the wind noise,
yeah.
the road noise, how easy is it to access the controls, how well do they work?
It wasn't exactly relaxing tooling around in new cars, but it did keep our neighbors on their toes.
Or our neighbors thought we were drug dealers.
Oh, for years and years, no one talked to us in our neighborhood because
we'd be, they'd see us leaving at night,
mm-hmm.
coming home in the morning, and we always had different cars.
And occasionally I would be out in the yard wearing my robe at 3 in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh, yeah. Those crazy kids, you know, just stay away from them. And look, she has a Christmas tree up that she keeps up year-round. Not only are they crazy kids, but they're very weird, too. So finally, a gentleman came...
Well, now, some of that hasn't changed over
that's
the
true.
Years.
But remember, a neighbor came down and said, I see you have a vehicle in your driveway that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, well, let's go for a ride. And we didn't kidnap him. We didn't kill him. He was able to talk about it afterwards.
Always good when you don't kill your neighbors.
And he kind of got us in with our neighbors on the block. They were like, oh, so they're not drug dealers. Oh, okay. Well, we have some time. We've got stuff that we want to share with you. So, Tom, feel better if you're listening. We're
yeah.
sorry we did not hear your message earlier. But feel better, buddy.
And also, speaking of, well, you know what? We'll take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a bunch of things to get to, so stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. So many things to get to tonight. Oh, did want to mention, speaking of videos, probably over the next couple days, we'll be posting on our YouTube channel and on our blog some wonderful videos of the Empty Pockets
mm-hmm.
when they were in studio with us just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Julian did some extraordinary videos,
they
and
did.
The Empty Pockets did some brand new songs.
Right, they debuted a couple of new songs and did an oldie, and we just love being able to share the videos with you because you get to see what we experience here in studio, and it's just fun to see these folks doing their thing and doing it so well.
So just check out our blog. And our blog is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And we would love it if you would subscribe to our WordPress blog. There's no fee. We don't spam you. You just get an email anytime we do a new post. And quite candidly, we're trying to get as many of you as possible. We have well over 10,000 people that follow us on Facebook. We're trying to move a lot of you over to our blog. Because Facebook is becoming wonky. In fact, how many problems did we have just the two of us? And we know of several people that are getting weird messages from Facebook, and Facebook is becoming harder and harder to work with. And sometimes...
We're not just whining about this. I mean, there are changes that happen, and no one warns you that these things are going to happen. And in my case, I had a very unsettling message
mm-hmm.
that came from Facebook, and I had to be sure that it was from Facebook because there are scammers out there that send you scary messages about your social media,
yeah.
and it's a way for them to get you kind of off guard so that you click places you should not be clicking on.
Yeah.
But it was a legitimate message, and it seems that Facebook is really pushing hard. I share this as just to be aware of this. They want us to have this pass key. P-A-S-S.
And we're going to talk more. We have talked in the past with Patrick about it. We're going to talk more about it with him next week because they're really pushing for this.
Right.
But along with that, Facebook is just doing weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not sharing some of the changes, and some of it is political in nature.
And some people say that they are actually commenting on posts, and they're not showing up. So
right.
Somehow, somewhere, there is probably a machine that decides if it's copacetic.
And it's fascinating to see how people are coming around with ways to get around some of the Facebook parameters. They're coming up with other terms because there are certain words that Facebook doesn't want you to use.
You can't say the word sex. You can't type the word sex. You have to type S-E-X-T. You can't type the words, I don't think pedophile is acceptable. Sexual abuse is not.
Right.
You have to do S-A. So if you see just letters, sometimes that's because people realize that their post will be kicked out by Facebook if they spell out those words.
And these are not people that are trying to do pornographic. Well, I couldn't say the word pornographic on Facebook.
Right.
That would be a flag reason.
You have to misspell it to make it acceptable.
But the point is Facebook is becoming really, really strange. So we would like it if you would check out our blog. That's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And when you get there, again, please subscribe. It's free. We don't spam you. You just get an email whenever we do a new post. But you will find probably over the next 2 or 3 days, we'll have the Empty Pockets videos up there. And just look over on the right side, and you will see there's a whole list of categories. We have stuff, I don't know how many years we've been doing the blog, but there's everything from...
Didn't you say the other day?
No, that was our YouTube channel, which we just found out is like 14 years old, which surprises me.
Yeah.
But our blog, I don't know how many years we've been doing that, but scroll down on the right-hand side.
Well, I know how many years, because it was our way of staying in contact with our listeners after we left our show full-time.
Right.
So that would have been January of 2012.
Okay.
So 14 years ago.
But if you look at the categories, you will see there's everything from automotive to some of Johnny's trees to gluten-free cooking to music to... just to personal stuff, to reviews, we've got all kinds of categories. And some of the things are going to wind up in our second book. We're working on a second book, which is the working title for the book is Life After Dark. And it's not going to be so much about us as it is about some of the people and things that we've experienced over the period of time that we've both been in radio and prior to radio, too. So, point is, if you would check out our blog, we'd really appreciate it. And we will be posting over the next couple days the new Empty Pockets videos. And some of the other... Oh, I mentioned celiac.
Oh, yes. We've got to talk about...
May is Celiac Awareness Month.
Yes, and we will do a show on celiac awareness. But specifically, next Sunday, the 3rd, is going to be Celiac Awareness Day at Wrigley Field.
That's so cool.
It is. A couple of parks across the country are going to the trouble because, you know, they're going to be offering food that is safe for people who are gluten intolerant, have gluten allergies. And this is a big deal because a lot of people go to games and you can't have anything.
Uh-huh.
Or you just, you know, having a Coke and wishing you could have a hot dog or something like that. And kudos to the Cubs for deciding that they would take an afternoon. I think the Cubs are playing the Diamondbacks that afternoon. And Sammy, if I got that wrong, shout out. But I think it's the Diamondbacks.
Let me bring it up.
On the 3rd.
I have somewhere over here.
You're so correct.
Yes. And you know what? The Sox could tell them how to play the Diamondbacks since they did so well against them. Yes. Did you hear about the Sammy, the Celiac Awareness Day at Wrigley on the 3rd of May?
I might have to drop in myself.
Yes, specialty ballpark fare will include Clark Street Grill near Section 112. We'll have chips, fries, chicken tenders, hot dogs, popcorn, and some other surprises. And there will be Asian bowls from local Bibibop B-I-B-I-B-O-P, Asian Grill.
We've never been there.
I know.
We've never been there, but we've talked to people who rave about it.
Because it is completely gluten-free when you walk in. Whatever you want, you know it's going to be safe. So it's appropriate that they should be involved. And that's going to be at the Gallagher Way. And beverage options will be available at Gallagher Way, Clark Street Grill, near Section 112. Beverages are not as difficult as just really fast food fare, so that's a very big deal.
Although you have to be careful of some beverages,
like milkshakes.
Milkshakes and stuff like that can be problematic. They will have a specialty ballpark fare menu items at the Clark Street Grill near Section 112.
Right, right.
Chips, that's where you can fries, get chicken tenders,
hot dogs,
popcorn, and more.
Yep. And you can go to MLB.com, and you will find that they have a half dozen parks across the country that are going to be recognizing Celiac Awareness Month. And the Cubs say a portion of the proceeds with each ticket that is purchased for Sunday, May 3rd, through the special ticket page, a portion of your ticket price will be donated to the Celiac Disease Foundation, fighting to find a cure and increase the rate of diagnosis. Because that's a big problem. You know, they tell us there have been a number floating around, like 1 out of 9 people is celiac. They just don't know it.
I think it's even higher than that now.
Probably, yeah. And the reason they don't know it is because, sadly, a lot of folks in the medical profession, it's changing, but for the 20 years that we've lived under the gluten-free umbrella, we found that there are some doctors, they're just not trained in medical school.
I am constantly amazed because we've been very open about dealing with celiac disease. We get emails from people who say, my doctor won't test my son or daughter for celiac disease. If your doctor ever says that to you, get a new doctor. There is zero excuse for that.
And if you're told that you are going to be tested, do not go on a gluten-free diet before you're tested because it's going to skew your results.
Exactly.
You have to continue to suffer.
And I know that sounds hard, and it is hard. Trust me. Been there, done that. I know the drill, and so does Johnny.
So you have to be ingesting gluten so that when you get the test goes, aha, this is something your body cannot tolerate.
To keep it real simple, if you haven't had any gluten, the test is going to say, oh, there's no gluten in your system.
You're okay.
So you're not reacting to it. Yeah. So sadly, you have to keep eating stuff if you're going to have that test.
But the positive from that particular test is it proves that once you stop eating gluten, you can heal your body. You can't get over having the disease, but you can heal your body so that you can function very comfortably. And you can go to ball games like on May 3rd at Wrigley Field and eat a hot dog that's safe for you to eat.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, unless I'm really, really wrong, I think that means we're going to do some shout-outs.
Yes. A listener reminded us but we didn't have time because the president was talking for 40 minutes. And, we just kind of hit the ground running tonight.
Let me start with, we're talking about our blog. And each week, we're just amazed at some of the countries that are checking out our blog.
Is Vietnam still checking out the blog?
Let me see. This week, and this is in order of the countries that have checked out our blog this week.
Okay.
United States. Number 2 is Hong Kong, SAR, China.
That's crazy.
That's crazy to me. Number 3 is Singapore. Number 4 is Belgium. Number 5 is Germany. Number 6 is the Netherlands. Number 8 is Russia.
What?
Yeah.
I think that's a first for Russia, isn't it?
No, Russia has checked us out before, but they're doing it more regularly. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Okay.
Number 9 is Canada. Number 10 is Italy. And number 11 is Finland. So those are just some of the people that are checking out our blog.
But no Vietnam.
No Vietnam this week.
Because that's the one that floored me last week. I was like, really? What? Are they looking for gluten-free recipes? I mean, what's going on there? Okay. I was just doing a little count here, and we have 17 different states that have checked in this evening. And by the way, I took pictures on our way into work, as I do every Saturday night, and I'm mighty proud of one particular picture. It's one of, we kind of call it the Palmolive Beacon, because that's what it was called forever.
It was the Palmolive Beacon. It was the Playboy Beacon for a while.
And it comes right over the Drake Hotel, and tonight it was cutting through fog, and it looks just like the bat signal. So a lot of folks are enjoying the pictures tonight and giving me some good feedback. I really appreciate it.
And it was really kind of a first, because every week we do these pictures as we're driving in, and this is the first week either of us can recall, and we've driven through fog before, but this is the first week either of us can recall seeing the beacon looking the way it does. So if you want to see it, go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see, or the Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see the drive into work pictures, and this one that, as you said, it almost looks like the bat signal.
Yep. Okay. Thank you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. And Janet Rogala, excuse me. I got to read my own handwriting. So Janet Rogala is listening to us in Pittsburgh. Stacey Drager is in Algonquin. Sherry Hanrahan is listening in Boston tonight. Becky Ofsayoff is in Northbrook. George Clements is in Augusta, Georgia. Mike is in Elmwood Park. Let me just say, as a timeout, Sammy, you have to tell us your Georgia experience, because the last time we saw you, you were talking about going to a wedding, right, in Georgia?
That is correct.
And did you end up renting a car or Ubering?
So actually, I was supposed to get a ride from my buddy that was coming from Wisconsin.
Okay.
I was 1 hour ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. So you were flying to Atlanta.
I was flying to Atlanta.
Right.
I was going to land 1 hour ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get a text in the morning saying my flight's delayed.
So he's
delayed 2 hours. So what I did, I pivoted to what they call in Georgia a groom bus.
Mm.
So a groom bus that makes multiple stops. So I had to find this groom bus. You know how Atlanta is, Atlanta Airport.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, my gosh.
And so I got to this groom bus, and I had to take a bus that was supposed to, the last destination was going to be, I think, Savannah, Georgia.
Oh.
But why do they call it a groom bus? Is it for weddings, for grooms, or what?
They get you on there and they brainwash you. They groom you.
It seemed like it, but it was pretty much a sprinter van.
Okay.
So I took a bus that was going to Savannah, about 90 minutes, to drop me off at a Chick-fil-A in Jonesboro, Georgia.
Oh, my gosh. But it had to be cheaper than Ubering.
It was absolutely cheaper and worth it, and I would do it again.
Did you meet any nice people on the bus?
Very nice people. Lots of Georgian people. I love the little accent, you know, the little Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Getting off here, honey.
Did you get to look around Savannah much?
I didn't get to Savannah, so in the middle.
You didn't
of the
go all the way to
okay.
the end.
So it stops at a Chick-fil-A in Jonesboro.
So all what did you do when you got out of Chick-fil-A? Did somebody
I had
come?
Chick-fil-A.
Did somebody
okay.
come? Did they come and get you though?
Yeah. So the bride's father picked me up.
Oh my gosh!
And drove me about 25 more minutes to where we were staying at.
What a goofy destination wedding, though. Is the bride from that area, from Jonesboro?
Her family lives down over in the Jonesboro area, so
wow.
they did that. They're from Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
They drove up there. I went down, flew down, and I love Atlanta. I will say this. The pricing difference in different states, the Illinois,
mm-hmm.
is one of the biggest eyeball things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Did you check gas prices?
I checked gas prices. Mm-hmm. I mean, a Chick-fil-A sandwich meal here is about like $14, $15.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Georgia, $10.89.
Oh,
okay.
And
wow.
it's like, yeah, it's only like 3 to 4 hours extra.
Yeah.
But it adds up, you know, when you go shopping
sure.
at a grocery
oh, gosh.
Store, like everything
but.
Just adds up.
But you can't, how do I want to say this? It really depends, not just the region is not consistent. For example, there are times when we'll be in Florida, which is obviously much further south, and the price of milk.
Oh,
is crazy.
Sammy, I like to take my receipts from the Jewels and they'll be in my wallet, and I go to the grocery store, Publix or Winn-Dixie or in Florida. Now, granted, we're in a tourist town, so Jonesboro's not a tourist town, so that gives you a few extra bucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little easier on you. I'm not kidding you. Milk, when we were there just a few weeks ago, was $7.35 a gallon. I can go to grocery stores here and get 2 gallons for $5.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And you would think Florida orange juice would be reasonable?
No.
I'd pay $11 for a quart of orange juice.
Because Florida 11. Is exporting all their orange juice.
Yes. I couldn't believe it. I sat down with my Jules receipt and my Publix receipt. It blew my mind. Lettuce that particular week we were there, $3.25 a head. It's $1.99 at Jewel, and I think that's high. Again, a tourist town.
So the pricing in Florida does it vary? I guess it goes up and down.
Or? Well, it may
kind of depending on the season and the area of Florida that you're in.
You have locals that live there year round, and you know they just say, "Yeah, food is high." And I said to my neighbor, "You don't know high. Look at this. This is Chicago. Look at the difference. An onion cost me like $2." At Publix, I have $2.
But one of the things that's becoming very big, at least in our part of Florida, is farmers markets.
Yes.
On the weekend. Oh, boy.
Yes, but did you hear about the big stink? Apparently, there are some farmers markets that are being busted because people have found stickers on their produce because they've been going to grocery stores and buying the produce and then taking it out to the farmers market and jacking up the price. I know. I would be livid if I found a sticker on an apple that I got at a stand. A listener says, please discuss Wendy's chick sandwich versus Chick-fil-A. All right, Sammy, are you prepared to compare them?
I think Chick-fil-A sandwich is the best, sandwich I've
But have ever you had. Had have you had the Wendy's?
Now, wait a minute. Is it even better than the Shake Shack burger?
Oof. No.
Wow.
No.
See?
It's not like that. It's not better.
It's not.
No.
I'm a cheeseburger guy.
But it's comparing apples and oranges, really. It's not fair.
No, it's comparing cheeseburgers
and chicken sandwiches. Well, we digress here. I was talking about George Clements, who listens from Augusta, Georgia. And that just reminded me that our last words with Sammy were, 2 weeks ago.
Our last words.
Be careful going to Georgia, Sammy. Mike is listening in Elmwood Park. Bonnie and George are in Scottsdale, Arizona. Rob and Amy are in Whiting, Indiana. Sherry's in Bolingbrook. JW and Dahlia are in Charlottesville, Virginia. Bing Besh is in Winfield. Don is back in town. He's in Lincoln Square. George and Bonnie are listening. Penny Scaletta is in Frankfurt. Dean is tuned in tonight from Freeport. Scott is in Pierre, South Dakota. Listener PJ is in Prairie Grove. Let me see here. You know what? I got to jump over here. Bear with me.
Did you mention Larry Mann in Miami, Florida?
No, I didn't. See, I've got so many things coming in at me. So, remember Lake Kashkanang?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Apparently, we have two listeners at Lake Kashkanang. I know I'm not doing that right. Apparently, that's a Potawatomi term for catfish, which is the best fish in the whole world. I should know that. But Patty Cummings Barron is listening to us from that part of the world. I'm not going to say it again. Ben Schweighauser, you guys are making me work for this. Come on.
It's that kind of a night.
Ben's listening in Chicago. Roger Camp is
we getting out to Chicago tonight?
He's in, yeah. Brian Lefevre, thank goodness he listens from Chicago and lets us know that, in fact, we still are being heard. Roger Camp is in Athens, Ohio. Diane Vasquez is tuned in. Beverly Goodall is listening. She tells us a funny story. Thank you, Beverly. David James is tuned in. Nancy Hollins, Patrice Tintara from Northwest Indiana. Speaking of that part of the world, hello to Chuck Snitchler, the best friend of this here radio station and this show. Gail Maslin is in Tinley Park. Norb Rosansky, he says, 15 minutes until showtime. Norb, that seems like a lifetime ago.
Yes.
Also, we ask on Saturday afternoons when we post about the upcoming show that you let us know where you're listening. Like John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Eric Baum posts a great picture, as he does every week.
I didn't see Eric's picture yet.
Wells Beach, Maine. This time it is a picture of a piping plover, P-L-O-V-E-R.
Oops, I just got it.
It's the cutest little bird that doesn't look real. He said it's starting to build a nest.
Go to our Facebook page and scroll down. And really, Eric, you should be working for the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. Because I want to go.
Pictures are gorgeous.
I want to go to Wells Beach, Maine. I want to go to that part of the world because of his pictures. Kathy Abnar is tuned in. Peter Jekobowitz is listening. Fans of Tom Appel, I'm sorry. We had nothing to do with Tom not being on tonight. Tom became violently ill in the 11 o'clock hour.
Tom is not feeling good tonight.
Yeah. And
Tom, get better, buddy.
Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Donna Youngheim is tuned in Oak Lawn. Scott Cooper is in Naperville. Susie Schimmel is in Glen Ellen. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Rich Wade, one of the Chase twins, is in Troy, Missouri. And I'm going to sneak a couple more in here. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Ellen Marie is in Marengo. Nancy Tomaszewski is in West Allis. Our buddy Chuck Snitch, our other buddy, Bobby Danos, is listening out in Sandwich and also been feeling under the weather. Again, you guys, you're not alone.
Some bug is going around now.
Yes, I know a bunch of people in this past week that have said, I don't know what it is, but I'm sick. Christian Moberg is in McCoin, Wisconsin. Margot Moore is in Albuquerque. Darlene Larson's in Verona, Wisconsin. Debbie Hardiman. Carrie Hunt is in Ruskin, Florida. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Jeffrey Welshens is in Elkins, West Virginia. Larry Mann, you mentioned him, in Miami. And Chuck Gorsuch in West Burlington, Iowa, and Penny Schick from Tavares, Florida. So we really got around tonight.
And you mentioned Tavares, and I keep thinking of the group Tavares.
From
What did they do?
It was disco. Right?
It was on the Saturday Night Fever album.
Yes.
Tavares.
Let me see, Tavares.
But why do I keep thinking of it? I don't think this is the song, but I keep thinking of a song called Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
That's it.
Oh, well,
oh my
look
gosh.
At me. Go
You're
me.
Scary.
Okay.
That was December 4th of 1977. That was their biggest hit, Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
Good song.
Yeah. We may have to sneak that in tonight.
We may. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah, Tavares. Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. And my mind just went in two places.
Hmm.
I started thinking about that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about when I first saw the movie Saturday Night Fever. And it's a happy, sad memory.
Hmm.
Happy because at that point I was living in Calumet City.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the River Oaks Theater.
Yeah.
At that time, great theater. Great sound system.
Yes, it was.
Great speakers, great screen. I loved everything about it. The sad part is, quite frequently, as we're driving out to my brother's in Munster, we drive past that shopping center, and it's so sad see what has happened to that, what used to be one of the premier shopping centers in the country.
It's a shell. Well, thank you for opening up the wound of my Kohl's. The Kohl's that I frequent is in a shopping center called Lincolnwood Town Center.
Yeah.
And it's closing May 1st. The whole
not just the Kohl's, but
the whole mall
shopping center. Apparently they've decided to do something else with it.
And I remember the days when there was a Carson's there. Heck, I remember when there was a Penny's there.
A wonderful Penny's.
35 years ago.
Yeah.
And kind of some cool little boutique-y places.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carson's came in, and that was a great anchor store. And we were thrilled when I didn't have to go all the way up to Gulf Mill to go to Kohl's.
And didn't they, for a short period of time, they had a Ruby Tuesdays there?
Maybe, yeah. There are a couple of restaurants that just never really did very well there that I can recall. But I was really surprised because there'd been some talk about the mall was sold, and I happened to be at the Kohl's the other day, and everybody was buzzing about the fact that the store had recently been redecorated and rearranged. And
you said it was, I haven't been there recently, but you said they've really done a nice job with it.
And it was just really sad to think that the whole thing, and of course these people, I've been seeing these people for 10 years that work there, and they won't have a job as of May 1st. And did you read what they're talking about that's going to happen at that mall?
I believe it's going to be a combination
a car dealership
and
residential.
No, there's something like a
Costco-ish
store.
Don't get that started though. That it may not be Costco, so don't let that rumor get started.
But some sort of a discount
retail
big store is going to go in there. And I guess some sort of residential thing. I guess it's going to be like a much smaller version of what, again, in the northern suburbs, what Old Orchard is redoing. Although Old Orchard is keeping a lot of its infrastructure, but they're adding some additional living.
I think quite a bit of residential will be going into the Old Orchard area, but that's a much bigger space than what
they have. Old Orchard is one of the few outdoor malls is successfully staying an outdoor mall.
Wasn't the owner of Old Orchard also the owner of River Oaks?
I believe it was.
And River Oaks was
I'm not sure if it still is the same company.
Because River Oaks is so depressing. I mean, you drive by there, there's a Penny's there. There's some cars outside the Penny's, but I can't imagine what it's like on the inside.
And I think Penny's may be one of the only, if not the only, and at one point that was Penny's, Sears, Fields, Carson's, tons of restaurants, tons of like six movie theaters. It was just.
Is there talk of something happening up at Northbrook as well? Hasn't Northbrook sold?
Yeah, and I guess there's some question about what's going to happen to Northbrook. Is that just going to go away and turn into something else, or is somebody going to try and revitalize that shopping center?
The last time we were at Northbrook, it was for the Apple Store. Now, there's an Apple Store at Old Orchard, but we went there for the Apple Store and maybe to a restaurant, maybe a P.F. Chang's in that neighborhood.
Yeah, something like that.
But it always seemed like it was well-supported, but it was a classy joint, too. It was...
Northbrook Court used
it
to
was
be
nice.
One of the...
Yeah.
In fact, I remember back in the day when they had a Marshall Fields up there, too?
Yeah. Do you think the pendulum is going to swing back, that maybe not in our lifetime, but eventually we'll get back to where people will be clamoring for malls?
I think it's actually starting to sway. In fact, I was reading just within the past month something about where younger demographics are now starting to go back towards outdoor malls, believe it or not.
Well, real quick, I've got to say, Sherry and Bob, Arlington Heights, thank you for listening. They won $400,000 because they bet that I would not mention them in the shout-outs. So
they won. From who did they win this money?
I don't know, but it says $400,000 betting that we would miss the shout-out tonight. So.
Okay, good. We've got a lot more coming up, but the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio at a very special edition of Sports Between the Sheets. Because today we welcomed back possibly the best radio show in all of radio ever since Marconi invented this thing.
Yes.
The Hamp and OB show returned. and Sammy was there to witness it.
Sammy, had you done the Hamp and OB show before?
I'm actually the executive producer.
Are
of
you?
Hamp and OB.
Oh, excuse me.
See, you need to put that on the very top of your resume.
And on your business card, because it's very impressive. So they were in today to talk about the 2026 draft. And we did not hear this. That's our nap time on Saturday afternoon.
What's their overall mood about the draft so far?
Well, let's just say we started the afternoon. I'm doing my prep, getting everything in order, stats, and, you know, the people that we've already drafted.
Mm-hmm.
In comes the door. You just hear this loud voice in the background. They don't score on the first game. They don't score in the second quarter, the third quarter, fourth quarter. We don't score at all. I'm like, mid-season form.
Yep.
Ready.
Yep.
And you just hear his OB's loud mouth coming in. I'm like,
yep.
Here we go.
Oh, my gosh.
Got to take my blood pressure medication.
Oh, gee. Yeah, they don't take the blood pressure medication. Working with them, you take the medication.
I do. I'm the hot seat. It's I'm on my toes every time. You don't know what's coming and what they're going to say, but pure entertainment.
And really, I've said this before, but it's so true. Even if you could care less about sports, particularly after a Bears game, the Hamp and OB show is the best thing on the radio.
It's the best thing.
You could actually have a really, really effective drinking game because, like, OB will get a phrase that becomes his favorite phrase, and I will turn to Steve and I'll say, "Yep, I'm drunk," because he said it 14 times, you know?
He comes up with these phrases. It's unbelievable.
I remember one night he did, like, "God help us." And he goes on and goes, "God help us."
It was, they're such a god-awful quarterback.
And then followed by, "God help us." And I said, oh my, he's not happy at all.
It's some of them, today's phrase was, "They couldn't play dead." That was the phrase today.
That's a good one.
But what was, what's your takeaway from how did they view the draft
so far?
They're happy. So I think the first pick fell to us, Darren Thurman. He was supposed to get taken earlier, so he fell to us and it kind of landed on our lap. So I think overall that's a great pick.
Well, the video of that dude, not only he's like model material, he's one handsome guy, but he looked like he had just won a multi-million-dollar lottery.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was kind of a multi-million-dollar lottery, right?
That would be correct.
Yeah.
I think overall, though, if you're going to talk from my perspective, I don't know if they addressed the knees that they needed to address, which would be the defensive end.
Okay.
And they never really did that. They got a center, Spencer Jones, from Iowa. He's going to come in and be a little backup, but I like that. The pick that did it for me, that I like, that was very quiet, was Malik Muhammad, cornerback. I believe it was Texas he came from. Yeah, Texas. 21 years old, young kid, got a lot of talent in the world, so I really like that one coming in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm. How about number 57? Number 57, Logan Jones. So the Bears got the 57th draft pick. Did Hamp and OB talk about the significance of being number 57?
All the lifetime supply of Heinz ketchup.
Logan Jones gets lifetime supply.
I think that is so cool.
That was so smart of Heinz to do that.
What does that entail, though? That's what I wish I could get to the root of that.
Well,
is that
probably,
just like mustard? Like, is it just strictly ketchup? And like, how do you determine a lifetime supply?
They do.
Well, when you're dead, you don't get any more.
You don't get any more.
But do you just think, I want ketchup? Like, what do they send you?
And you know what they say? And you can't share this ketchup with your family. It's only for you for your lifetime.
You would call like, hey, I need more ketchup.
They probably send you like certificates, and then you have to go to the grocery store and fight with them about, this is a legit certificate. I'm number 57. Yeah. No, not number 57. The 57th draft pick.
I'm the Heinz ketchup guy.
Yes. But
speaking of the really, really important stuff, what's the deal with Caleb is involved in some weird kind of a lawsuit because he's trying to trademark the name the Iceman, and who is the basketball player that also was trying to trademark the name of the Iceman?
I am not sure the name, but I know that Drake...
George Gervin.
G-E-R-V-I-N, yes.
That would be the trademark for that.
Yeah.
But and the artist Drake, I don't know if you saw in the news, he made that big ice blocks to release his album, and he identified as the Iceman.
Well, years ago,
back in the day, yeah. Jerry Butler.
In Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
Was the Iceman. In fact, he had several albums out where he was referred to as the Iceman.
Because he was such a cool R&B yeah. singer. So Caleb Williams has been nicknamed Iceman by teammates following his high composure, late game heroics. And so he has initiated a trademark battle to secure the rights to the name. NBA Hall of Famer George Gervin,
yep.
who's been known as the Iceman since 1973, mm-hmm. filed his own trademarks for the name shortly after Williams, and that sparked the dispute.
So there, I guess that's where it's going to get interesting, because on one hand, Gervin was called the Iceman before Caleb, but Caleb filed the trademark before Gervin filed it, so it gets. And then there was Jerry Butler, and so who knows?
But it's a big deal because Caleb Williams stated that the trademark filing is intended to control how the nickname is marketed on clothes, bags, and water bottles. To celebrate the nickname, a massive ice sculpture of Caleb Williams was installed at Chicago's Merchandise Mart back in January. Mm-hmm. The trademark filing includes a silhouette of Caleb mid-throw, likened to a Jumpman-type logo, according to reports
You remember that? That was a very cool sculpture.
Yeah.
It was.
Williams earned the name for his performance in cold weather and his ability to pull off fourth quarter comebacks, and celebrated by rubbing his biceps as if he were cold. So he became the Iceman. Okay, my money is on Caleb. I think we need new blood to be the Iceman. Right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. He showed it. He's worth it. I mean, I like one thing that sticks to me is like one of my favorite artists of music is Drake.
Yeah.
But for him to shut down my quarterback, well, not my quarterback, Chicago's quarterback, yeah. but also wear a Packers
that's right.
Jacket mm-hmm. just to troll him,
he went down my
bucket list. I actually posted on my Instagram. It was like a picture made of like Caleb Williams, like an Iceman, mm-hmm. and I tagged Drake. I was like, there's only one Iceman alive around here.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, but have you ever heard Jerry Butler?
I have not.
Okay. Out of the break, we'll do a little Jerry Butler. But before we get away from sports.
You want to do Only the Strong Survive or not Moon River, that's so sad.
No, I'm thinking Western Union Man.
Western Union Man, yeah, that's good. So Jerry Butler.
But before we break, baseball. Both the Cubs and the Sox lost, but boy, they're fun to watch right now.
Chicago baseball is good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's entertaining.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
It's one of the best things, you know, in Chicago. There's nothing like Chicago's baseball being hot as it is.
And what's his face? Who has what? Tied the record for home runs?
Yeah.
Muna is just crazy good. I mean, he's one of those, when he comes up to bat, it's must watch TV.
Yes. Murakami, he's kind of. Isn't he in the zone with the Dodgers dude?
Otani,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both, and he's a real surprise because, I mean, everybody. Yeah. I mean,
he had to prove himself.
Yeah, yeah, but boy, has he.
And I said as we were watching the games this past week, and when he would hit it out of the park, and I mean, he really hits it out of the park. Why aren't they saying, to the Muna? He hit it to the Muna. I mean, that's his nickname. Come on, people.
I like it.
Right.
I think Chicago baseball's got a good stronghold on Japanese superstars.
Oh, yeah.
Cubs, yeah.
Yes.
Suzuki.
Yep.
Yes.
And Shota and Miguel. I can't even say it. Not going to try it again. But they got some superstars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an exciting time to be in the north and south side of Chicago.
Now, do you have your tickets for the Cubs-Sox game coming up?
Oh, that won't. I don't think that's. So that's going to be at G rate. I will go to that. I always go to the Cubs-Sox game. That's like must-see TV.
You've got your tickets?
I'll get it.
Oh, I hope you know the right people, because I saw that they're kind of, you know, expensive.
No.
You thought it was expensive taking that grooming bus in Georgia?
That's what to say. Maybe in Georgia, it's...
it's cheaper in Georgia.
$6 cheaper.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a break. More coming up in WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That was the original Iceman, Jerry Butler, and he was named the Iceman because Jerry came up at a time when you had Elvis, you had Jerry Lee Lewis, you had a lot of rockers who were jumping all over the stage, and Jerry just stood there and sang.
Looking like a million bucks,
oh,
too.
Oh, he was so cool. Yeah. And he had so many million sellers. Mm-hmm. We were very, very fortunate. This is back when Harold Washington was mayor of the city of Chicago. Johnny and I were part of then-Mayor Washington's committee to help bring the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the city of Chicago, and we got to work with Jerry Butler, who was also a commissioner with the city of Chicago.
So it was legit.
Yeah.
And we had a whole lot of money, and we had a great location called Navy Pier.
Yep.
For the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And we had, it took a lot of time, but we had $40 million in financing. Mm-hmm. There was going to be a working
recording
studio.
Which doesn't sound like a lot nowadays, but then it was.
And sadly, we came to understand after we had spent about a year and a half working on this thing, we came to find out that it was all just a publicity stunt that they intended to put the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland
all along. Yep. They even admitted that. We said, well, thanks. You know, we had meetings. We had petitions signing. We stood outside concerts with petitions because they said, we need petitions to prove that people can justify the Hall of Fame coming to your town.
And we put together a list of the people who either recorded or were born in Chicago that would have helped Chicago qualify as the home for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It beat Cleveland.
Oh, boy, it did.
Hands down. Yeah. Western Union, though, that was one of his big hits. I had said to you, no Moon River, and a listener said, oh, why not?
I love Moon River.
But it's sad.
But I love the tone of the guitar on that, and Jerry Butler's version of Moon River is just classic.
Is that Curtis Mayfield with him on guitar?
No, that was a little bit after he still did some work with Curtis, but this was one of his solo things, and I'm trying to think who the guitar, it wasn't Billy Butler.
But you're right, instrumentally it's beautiful, it's just the
absolutely
song.
Absolutely gorgeous. But while we were playing that, I was thinking, you know, you talk about old school.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, younger people, know what the heck Western Union is?
Well, let us turn to Sammy, young Sammy. Have you ever seen a telegram, Sammy?
I think Sammy just
scooted
out.
Oh, he stepped away. Oh, he did. And his studio is dark, so I can't tell when he stepped away or not. Because I thought, do Western Union telegrams still exist? And guess what?
They do.
Walmart. CVS, not all CVSs, but you can go Walgreens, some Walgreens also. What you're doing is you're basically transferring money.
Right.
It's not like getting a telegram, the baby was just born, or I just got the job, or I'm getting married. Did you ever receive a telegram?
I think I did, and I don't recall.
You probably still have it if you did.
But I think I did. And I
had singing telegrams.
I don't know if I ever sent a telegram.
Remember singing telegrams?
Sammy, would you know anything about a telegram? Have you ever seen one, heard one, sent one, received one? does it mean anything to you, Western Union?
So, telegram, are you talking about, do you know the app telegram?
No. So talking about a piece of paper.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Okay. There's a piece of paper that somebody would deliver to you.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
So if you caught the lyrics of the song Western Union Man, Send a Telegram, which is totally different than the telegram app. That has nothing to do with the
telegram
app.
This is an actual piece of paper that is typed out with your message, and somebody delivers it. And then there was a time in the 80s when singing telegrams became really popular.
Right.
And I hated them because, you know, if somebody sent me a singing telegram, you're on my list. I know.
So, for example, Sammy, if it was your birthday, a bunch of your friends would contact Western Union and say, we want to send Sammy a singing telegram, happy birthday. Knock on your door, you open your door, and there's a bunch of people there singing.
Singing.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday.
Funny you bring that up, because in front of the WGN, right of the offices over there, there's three pieces of paper, and someone messaged me that there were telegrams from the former owner of the WGN, I'm pretty sure.
Really? I've got to go over and look at that.
I'll take a walk with you guys after the show, and I'll show you guys.
Because the station's always been really good about remembering our history.
Right.
Because the many of the black and white pictures that hung on the walls that are still here in various places, and they depict moments from the history of the station.
Right.
So I'm not surprised that they would actually have telegrams, but I'm sure there are people going, huh? What's that yellow piece of paper with holes on the sides?
So there are a lot of people that would have no clue what the song Western Union has to do with anything, and a lot of people who probably wouldn't know what the song with Jim Croce's operator.
Well, what about ELO with telephone and the beep, beep, the beep, 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 because that's what you would hear when you're touch tone. We thought that was, that was fancy when you didn't have to put your finger in the dial and spin it around. You could actually hit a button and you'd get a beeping.
That was high tech.
And you get a beeping sound. So that was the opening to the ELO song. Okay, we've just taken you down memory lane. I know. Time now for news at 1:30 here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. It's Dave Mason. We just disagree. And sadly, we lost Dave Mason on April 19th.
Mm-hmm.
From his website, it's sad, but it's also very special. A message from his family. And they said, it is with deep and profound sadness that we share the news of the passing of Dave Mason on Sunday, April 19th, after cooking an amazing dinner with his beloved wife, Winifred. He sat down to take a nap with his Maltese star at his feet.
Now, again, think of that. You have a nice meal. You're there with your wife. You enjoy the meal. You go get in your favorite chair. You got your Maltese there with you. You're just chilling.
He passed away at home peacefully in his favorite chair, surrounded by the beautiful Carson Valley that he loved so much.
We should all be so lucky.
Yeah, really.
I mean, he wasn't in great health.
He hadn't been for a while.
Yeah, he had some challenges, so he hadn't been touring. But he was still touring up until early last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my gosh, I love his voice. I loved him when he was in Traffic, and then he went solo after his years with Traffic.
And you kind of forget what an impact he had, as certainly he helped Jim Capaldi and Chris Wood to form Traffic. I forgot that he wrote Feeling All Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
But We Just Disagree was a great song.
Yeah.
And I think he also worked with the Stones. He worked with he worked with everybody. Hendrix, you name them. They appreciated him as a musician, too.
And one of my favorite of his up-tempo things was Only You Know and I Know.
Yeah, absolutely. But I keep flashing back on that scene. You make a nice meal. You enjoy good food. You go get in your favorite chair. You stretch out.
Yeah.
You got your Maltese there with you. And you're looking out the window at your favorite place in the whole world in Nevada. And you close your eyes and you don't wake up.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you got to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Really. I really loved him. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah.
And we were talking
deservedly
about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame earlier.
Is he in there for
with
Traffic?
And
solo. Good.
As a solo.
Good. He deserves it.
Yes, absolutely. But it makes me think of a few minutes ago we were talking about the actual structure, the museum. But they recently announced their nominations for the next class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I cannot believe that Neil Sedaka passed away within weeks of them announcing the nominations, and his name is still not on that list. I cannot even believe
it. And I understand that, yeah, Neil was more pop, but he belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
If you're going to include rap, if you're going to include alternative, he was played on rock radio.
Yep. He was heavy rotation on the Once Big 89 when I was over there.
Oh, gosh. I just don't understand it. And the fact that he would pass away within weeks of them coming out with this big nomination and he wasn't on the list, just it just floors me.
There are so many people who agree with us that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is that in name only.
Yeah. Well, we know performers who've been unable to attend their own band's induction because it was too darn expensive.
Some of the members of Gene Vincent's Blue Caps.
They said, we can't pay $2,000 for a ticket
to
go there to be honored. What?
So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is making money through people coming to see it, then they're making money through people who are going to be in the audience, and then if you're going to be inducted, by the way, you have to pay to come to be inducted.
And we're going to video it, and then we're going to make it available for a small fee.
Yeah.
Because we're going to sell it to some service, and they're going to make it available to you, but you got to pay. So... listener asked, how old was Dave Mason? He was 79, I believe, 79 years old.
I'm not positive.
Yes, he was 79.
Okay.
A lot of people love Dave Mason. That's very sweet. And I don't think his passing got a whole lot of attention either.
It got some, but... But boy, you talk about somebody who had a lasting impact on contemporary music.
I saw him in concert.
Where and when?
I want to say it was Old Chicago, believe it or not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because I saw at Old Chicago, he didn't have on a shirt. I remember that.
Iggy Pop?
Steppenwolf.
John Kay, Steppenwolf.
Yes, without a shirt on. I remember we were like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
John Kay, one of the coolest people I've ever seen in concert. Yeah. I saw him with the original Steppenwolf. This must have been in the late 60s, early 70s at the Auditorium Theater, and just one of the coolest people on stage. The black leather and...
Yeah, he had black leather pants with no shirt.
Yep.
And I don't think we girls were prepared for that when we walked into old Chicago. Right Place at the Wrong Time.
Dr. John.
Oh, Dr. John.
Sure.
Saw him there, too. And Dave Mason.
Three Dog Night was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Back at Old Chicago?
Yeah, this was back when I was living in Bowling Brook. This would have been late 70s, early 80s.
No, and the Three Dog Night?
Yeah.
Was it just two of the dogs?
good question. Also, Dottie West played there.
Yeah, I guess it really wasn't a step down. Sammy, again, we turn to young Sammy on the other side of the glass. Does Old Chicago mean anything to you?
Old Chicago? Old Chicago?
Yeah. Old Chicago, where I saw these people perform, was an indoor amusement park in Bowling Brook. Can you believe that?
It was
indoor.
Right, if you went to I-55 and Route 53, right there... There was this big dome, and inside the dome was this amusement park. In fact,
with cornfields all around it.
If you ever get the chance, see the movie called The Fury, because there is there's a lot of scenes filmed at Old Chicago.
Yeah,
I was at Old Chicago for some of the muscular dystrophy telethons. The biggest problem with Old Chicago...
It was depressing.
It was so depressing.
It was so dark in there. In fact, in The Fury, the movie The Fury, because it's a really scary, creepy movie.
And you have these, roller coasters going around inside.
Inside. So you're looking at rafters and ceilings, and there's no sun, and there are no windows.
And the biggest problem with performers there... the acoustics were horrible.
Yes.
Awful acoustics.
The sound would just bounce around from the ceiling and off the roller coaster.
All the metal and the glass and stuff. Horrible acoustics.
Oof. Okay. When it was there, and it was popular for a minute and a half, it was in a cornfield. Now you'd have to look really hard in Bolingbrook to find a cornfield because it's so built up, because this was in the 70s. Literally, it was this dome that was sitting in the country, in farmland. It was crazy. And it was the Fury. It was the Brian De Palma movie. It's all coming back to me now. We're going to have to do a show sometime on shopping centers, because people were texting tonight asking about things like Northbrook, because David Hochberg apparently has presented some ideas for Northbrook, and there's some darn good ideas. I've heard some of them. And, you know, we were talking, is it the Zamboni?
Yep, I'm starting to see the blue light. Yeah,
I better hush up.
Yep, here comes, yep.
Yep, that's Bob.
Yep. Big Bob.
Yeah, Bob's going to clean up the joint.
Keeper of the big plug.
Yep, he's going to get the
Zamboni.
Going to get the place ready, get rid of these banana muffin crumbs, and get it ready for Wendy this morning. She'll be here at 9.
And that means that if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200, you could win some goodies from this year Radio Place, as long as you haven't won anything within the past 60 days or
2 months.
2 months, whichever comes first. 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200.
And if you join us as the last caller, you can talk bears, you can talk shopping, you can talk weather, you can whatever you want. That's the whole idea.
You can talk Western Union.
Yes, you can be the cherry on top of our five-hour show, but feel no pressure.
Or the icing on top of our Zamboni.
Yes.
So 312-981-7200. We will take a break, and we will get to our last caller in just a couple minutes. So stay with us at WGN. Can't stay.
And you can't hear the whole song, as we say every week. When you hear the whole song, you know we ain't coming back again.
If you would like to hear the whole song, look up Red Peters, the closing song. You can find it on YouTube, and you listen to it, and you'll discover why we ain't never going to play it, unless it's our absolute last show. We had more fun with him.
we've got to get him on again soon, because he had some great stories. And maybe, you know, if we got him on after midnight. No, second thought. No, we won't do that, because we want to keep the license.
We should remind you that we do have a full show next week.
Oh, yeah.
And
we're going to talk with Merrill Miller,
who is the manager of concerts at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. And they have some really interesting concerts coming
up. He's the new guy there. And he's going to give us a lowdown. And also, it's Patrick Crispin night. But we may have to readjust that because we missed our Tom tonight.
Yeah, we'll just
Think a good
kind
thought.
Of see,
think good thoughts for Tom, because he was not with us this evening because he is under the weather big time.
Yeah, and we want him to get on top of the weather.
Yes.
Also, May is Celiac Awareness Month. This is our last show. Do you think, can we make it on Jimmy Kimmel's show if we say, can't believe it's our last show in April already?
It's coming up on May. How can that be? Why, just the other day, it was New Year's Eve.
Golly.
He does a great...
Do you believe it?
He does a great montage of all the people around the country.
I don't think he does radio people. We got to get him to do radio people.
Because he's a radio guy. That's how he started in radio. Yeah, we got to get to him, because he does the montage of people saying, wow, it's already May. Can you believe it, Steve? No, Johnny.
I can't believe it. Golly.
Okay, we have a five-hour show, full show tonight. A weird show. I mean, it was...
Yeah, this was... Yeah. Good luck editing this one, Sammy.
This was... because it's a five-hour show, I'm going to make the choice. Number five will be our last caller this week.
And number five would be Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Chicago. I was on the north side at Rose's at a blues concert, and I'm headed back to the south side right now.
Who did you see at Rose's?
Yeah.
Ivan Singh. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
No.
No.
He's a very good, he comes from Argentina. His mother was Indian from India.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just amazing.
Really? Is he a local guy or just coming through to do a gig at Rose's?
He's pretty much a local guy. He plays, he'll play Legends. He'll play Rose's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a young guy.
Fitzgerald.
Acoustic, electric,
Latino
blues guitarist and singer from Argentina, lives in Chicago, has been very well accepted by the blues community. Hey.
Thank you for introducing us to
yeah.
him.
Yeah. So it's S-I-N-G-H. Do you think you'd be a good radio guest? What do you think?
I know he would be.
I
know he would be.
I bet he's got a great story, too, huh?
I'm sure he does. Part of, sometimes he plays the guitar that he built himself out of a potato box.
Cool.
Wow, I'm looking here. There's some great videos, too. If anybody wants to check him out, his last name is spelled S-I-N-G-H, Ivan Singh. And apparently he pops up at the Chicago Blues Fest and will probably be doing Blues Fest this year. Well, we're going to have to track this man down. He's 33 years old.
Oh, you really should.
And yeah.
What he'll do during the show, he will take his guitar and start playing through the crowd. Tonight he took his guitar, brought it behind the bar, was playing slide guitar with a shot glass.
Cool.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah. Does he have a band or is he solo?
Oh, no. He has a band.
Mm-hmm.
Drummer, bass player, saxophone player, keyboardist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. And I want to tell you that I feel real privileged for being the last caller of April.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
And can you believe it's already May?
Can you believe it, Jeff?
Really? No, I'm so happy that you called because I'm looking at Ivan. I just friended him on Facebook, so we'll see what happens. Because I think it'd be fun to get... We need more blues performers in here.
Yeah, we do.
And we got Blues Fest coming up this summer, so we'll tie it all in together.
In fact, our friend Sue Foley is coming back to Blues Fest, too.
Yeah, yeah. So you said you're heading to the South Side. Born and raised on the South Side?
Yes, I am.
Yeah?
Whereabouts?
Beverly right now. I lived in Pullman for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
Whereabouts in Beverly?
Beverly Records?
You know where Rainbow Cone is?
Yes, of
sure.
course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just on the other side of the block. I could, I could walk there on my hands and knees.
That's dangerous.
So, yeah.
Do you do that often?
Yes. Go.
Well, maybe...
Uh-huh.
Before I stop drinking. But,
uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't drink anymore,
and you're not very far away from Beverly Records, which had a huge, huge day last Saturday with Record Store Day. Right? Wasn't that just...
No, not that far away at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're down there at 116th
in
yeah.
Southwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. I'm a North Sider, and I'm,
But I've actually converted her into being a Sox fan, too.
Are you a Sox or Cubs fan?
Oh, Sox fan.
All right.
Yes.
Big Sox fan.
Good. You can stay.
I have a room dedicated to the White
Sox. Do you really?
Wow.
You should send us a picture on Facebook. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see that.
Yeah, my pride and joy is I have an original lithograph of the 1917 White Sox.
What?
And it's pretty big. It's about, 18 inches by 2.5 feet.
Whoa!
Is it like their logo or something from a newspaper or what?
No, it's a lithograph of the team.
Really?
Wow, so it's a big team picture.
Yeah, on it says Comiskey's World Champions.
How did you...
And,
how did you land that?
If
you told me, you'd have to kill me?
Believe it or not, Salvation Army about 20 years ago.
Really?
You're kidding.
Whoa.
How cool.
And it's really neat. You know, they've got Shoeless Joe in there, and he's holding his bat. His bat's name was Betsy.
That is neat.
I should do, I'd love to send you a picture of it.
Oh, we'll do that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we would love to see that. In fact, you can send it to us through Facebook Messenger. You can also email us.
Yeah, and our email address really is emailus@steveandjohnny.com.
And Johnny is J-O-H-N-N-I-E. Hey, Jeff, it's a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for telling us about Ivan. I have, as they say, I've saved it, and we're going to check him out. And we appreciate you tuning into the show, too.
Yeah.
We will send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt. And we'll be tickled to know that you're going to be wearing that this summer.
This has been a fast, strange.
Yes.
But a fast 5 hours.
Thanks to you guys. You keep us busy at 312-981-7200, and we really do appreciate that.
And again, next week we have a full show. We think Dr. Patrick Crispin will be joining us.
Yeah.
And
he's okay. It's just a question of whether or not we are going to move Tom to next week, because we had a whole bunch of things that we needed to talk about with Tom.
Yeah. And again, we're also going to talk with Merrill Miller, who's the manager of concerts at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts, and a bunch of other things.
We're going to kick off Celiac Awareness.
Yes.
And maybe I'll make some extra goodies to bring in so we can do a little taste testing of some celiac things.
Works for me.
And I know what I want to do. Every week in May, I want to put up a gluten-free
recipe. I like
a recipe.
That. Good. Mm-hmm. We are sadly out of time. So I'm going to stop talking and say thank you to Sammy and to Bob and to
Ron and Sylvia. Yeah.
And all the ships at sea, and most of all to you for hanging out with us. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.